Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Broadway's original Aladdin, Adam Jacobs, showed us a whole new world 8 times a week. He stormed the barricades as Marius in Les Miserables, and soon he'll be letting us behind the curtain with his new documentary. Adam Jacobs will be burying it all with Call Me Adam about Broadway, movies, and so much more. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's Adam Square today. It's so nice to talk to another Adam.
It is. It's great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so excited to talk to you because I watched your documentary this weekend, Behind the Curtain, and it's fantastic. Reminded me a lot of the way it's filmed. It reminded me a lot of Madonna's Truth or Dare, the way you go from performance to talking behind the scenes about life, like you say, behind the curtain of musical theater.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. But let's start with, I love starting my interviews off with this question. X amount of years from now, when someone mentions Adam Jacobs, what do you hope people say about you?
Oh boy. Well, I hope they say that he was really great to work with. I think that's the one thing that I take pride in, is that I've sort of had a career where I feel like reputation is important in this business. And you want to be the type of person that's positive and people want to work with. And I've been very fortunate to have played some fantastic roles in my career, and I don't take things for granted. So I want people to be like, oh yeah, he was a talented performer and really great to work with. And that's kind of the basics there, right?
That would be a wonderful way to be remembered.
Yeah, right?
Yes, yes. And you've played a lot of iconic roles. You originated Aladdin on Broadway, like I mentioned. You played Marius in Les Mis.
I could also be the shirtless guy, because, you know, since Mamma Mia, I was Sky in Mamma Mia, then straight to Simba, then to Aladdin. So they might be like, oh yeah, Adam Jacobs, he's always naked on stage.
I don't know.
He's always bearing it all, right, Adam?
Exactly, exactly. See, now people aren't going to know which Adam is bearing it all.
Exactly.
With your documentary Behind the Curtain. Now, this was actually an evening you had at
Vitello's in Los Angeles. Yeah. So the docu-concert, we like to call it docu-concert, by the way.
Okay.
I didn't coin that phrase. My producer likes to call it that. So my co-producer, I should say. And so that was filmed like almost a couple of years ago now in Vitello's in Los Angeles. And I was actually there filming another project of his, Bruce Riesman's Last Call in the Doghouse, which is a film also coming out pretty soon. So these two big projects coming out pretty soon is I'm very excited about.
Yes, you have both of these coming out almost simultaneously.
Right.
Let's first tackle the docu-concert. So in the docu-concert, it shows you performing, but then it also shows you telling stories of behind the scenes. Some of the stories you tell about show mishaps. Mm-hmm. And what I want to know is, because you talk about a mishap in Aladdin on tour. It was opening night where like the set wasn't completely together and they were telling you like, don't jump across the top of the hills, but you did it anyway.
I did. I was a bad boy. I did.
And then I know you also mentioned the one in Les Mis where the set started to like come unattached and it was starting to slide down the stage and you jumped off.
Yeah.
Did you get injured from that?
I didn't. And I don't know how I didn't, because actually I think I had like bruises on my heels, because it was about 10 feet that I jumped off from the top of the gate down to the deck. And I was wearing those old Marius shoes. And don't have too much support in there. But yeah, so that I've had some close calls for sure.
Now, are there, besides those two, are there any, is there any like bigger stage mishaps that happened to you? Or is there something from Mamma Mia or The Lion King that you can tell us about?
Yeah, let me think. I mean, yeah, Mamma Mia, I remember walking around in those flippers. When you're first getting used to them, they're very hard to figure out. And I just remember biting it so many times, trying to dance like in that show. It always comes down to like the footwear for me, I think. I don't know. In Simba, as Simba, I had to do in when you first come in as Simba and you swing in on the vine and you land and you're singing your "Means No Worries" and you're doing your cartwheel while singing an A and into your double turn, like all of that, I would always like my shoes would stick on the stage, and then like I would like twist my knee or something a little bit. And so it's always like I'm always so conscious about like I gotta make sure my shoes are good. It's so silly.
Have you ever broken anything from any of those mishaps?
Knock on wood, I have not. But I would say my biggest mishap that ever happened on stage was during a tech rehearsal for Zorro in Atlanta. It was the world premiere, actually the U.S. premiere of that show, because they did it on the West End.
Yeah.
And they brought it here, and I was playing Zorro. And during rehearsal, a pyrotechnic flash pot in the stage went off, and it went up. And I was over it because they fired it at the wrong time. And I got this really nasty second degree burn on my hand. And I had to miss the first tech rehearsals and previews. And I was so upset about that. But that was also the same time that I got my call to play Aladdin first in Toronto and then on Broadway. So like the producer, they call me while I'm like in my hotel room with my hand all bandaged. And they tell me I'm going to be playing Aladdin, and I'm like, yay, ow, yeah, so.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So speaking of Aladdin, how do you want Aladdin, because you not only did you originate it on Broadway, but you also played it on tour, and like you just mentioned in Toronto, how do you want Aladdin to fit into your legacy of work when people think of you? I mean, what do you want them to remember about you, about Aladdin, or what do you want them to know that we might not know?
Well, I just feel so lucky that I got to play this role. And whenever they think of me and my career, it's so weird, like we're talking about way in the future, right?
Yes.
And I want people to know me as Aladdin. I'm very proud, obviously, to have played Aladdin. And I will always be known as the guy who played Aladdin. And I'm totally cool with that because I love that character. And I think I don't have... People talk about like, or do you worry about feeling pigeonholed or, you know, and I just don't, I really don't. I feel like I'm going to wear this role through my whole life as something that's amazing. And I have no problem with that. I will work for Disney for the rest of my life if I'm given the opportunity.
Now, also your sister, Ariel Jacobs, played Jasmine in Aladdin.
Yes.
Have you and your sister ever talked about wanting to be in a show together, or is there a show that you and your sister want to do together?
Well, I wish they wrote more musicals with brothers and sisters. There just aren't that many, right? I mean, we did create our own like cabaret show. We called it Sibling Disobedience and Our Whole Lives. And it was a huge hit at 54 Below. And we did it in San Francisco. And I would love to do that again with her, actually. Ariel, if you're listening, we should do that. But in terms of a book show, there's just not a lot out there. I feel like maybe Ariel and I just have to go ahead and write something that we can both star in that would work for us. Or yeah, commission somebody out there who wants to take up that project during quarantine. You're welcome to do it.
That would be incredible. So anybody listening, if you could write a brother and sister show, write it and star Adam and Ariel.
Yes, we will do it.
That would be incredible. Now, who started first in the business? Was it you or your sister?
It was actually my sister who started singing and performing before I did. I was 13 or no, a little bit younger than that. Like 11 to 13 is where we were doing these performances around San Francisco. She was part of this group. I should go back. She was part of this group called Razzle Dazzle Kids. And she said, "Do you want to be a part of it?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I joined it, and because I thought the girls were cute. That was kind of the main reason. And we performed, and I started taking lessons then. But up until then, I've been doing sports and piano. And so, but that was my first time really performing was with that group around San Francisco. So she takes credit for my career.
Now, speaking of cute girls, in the documentary Behind the Curtain, you do talk about showmances, which is romances between cast members, for anybody who doesn't know that. And you actually met your wife, which you talk about in the docu-concert, that you actually met together in a show. Are there any other showmances you had prior to meeting your wife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had showmances before that. I mean, they just never end well. I mean, that's the thing with those things is people who are in the business will know that they can start out so intense, right? Because you're mm-hmm. forced to be with these people backstage and you're in the same space, some dressing in front of each other or whatever. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, sometimes you need space and I don't know. It's really intense, and then it could blow up really quickly, and it could be really bad for everybody else in the cast. And mm-hmm. I've seen it happen. I've been in it, and it's not fun. I mean, it can be fun, like when you're on the road and you're touring and you're sneaking into each other's hotel rooms and stuff like that. But they never seem to end well, it seems. I don't know. But at least with my wife, I was lucky to have met her. We met kind of early on in our careers and mm-hmm. fell in love, and miraculously we were able to keep together, and which is saying something in this business.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with Adam Jacobs.
Hey everyone, my name is Adam Jacobs and you're listening to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam.
And now we're back.
And we're back.
We're back. You are a father as well.
That's
and
right.
You actually, is it twins you have?
Yeah, twin boys.
And they were born on the, it was what, the first day of the opening
of
night of Aladdin?
For the Broadway rehearsals. Production.
Yes.
They were rehearsals, yeah.
So here you are, you're getting ready to star on Broadway in Aladdin, and your twin boys are born, and being a new father, I mean, you hardly get any sleep rehearsing for a Broadway show. I'm sure you don't get a lot of sleep. How did you manage all of that? How did you keep your energy up? Because
yeah.
Aladdin's a very demanding role.
Oh, it's super demanding. And I have to thank my mother-in-law, because she flew in and stayed with us for about a month. The very first month, she helped out with taking care of the twins. And my wife is just, she's been such a great mother. She's been like just a pillar from the beginning. Like we had this agreement, like she knew that I couldn't be able to perform at my top level unless I was able to get my sleep. And mm-hmm. and so we got help where we could, from her family, from my family, and we kind of spread it out and made it work. But it was tough. And I know the producers were a bit nervous when they were bored, and they trusted me, and they were supportive, and it worked out. We had a hit.
Yes. Yes. A very big hit, in fact.
Yeah.
Yes. Were you able to be there when they were born, or were you like literally in rehearsal?
No. So it happened at like 2 a.m, right?
Oh, okay.
I think her water broke around midnight. And then the whole ordeal was about 25 hours labor.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were there like the whole day into the next day. And my rehearsal was supposed to be, I think, 10 a.m. And they were born around 2 a.m. So yeah, there was no way I was going to make that rehearsal. And I think I heard stories from other people in the cast. Casey Nicola in the rehearsal room was like, "So Adam Jacobs isn't here because his wife just gave birth to twins." And everyone's like, "Woo!" And they worked on Arabian Nights. And so I didn't need to be there. They worked around my absence there.
That's really great.
Yeah.
That's really great. And what was the hardest part of that time between starring in the Broadway show and being a new father? What do you think, what was the most challenging part for you?
I think just the mental shift that kind of had to happen every day. I'm being a father at home, changing dirty diapers, and then I'm going to this theater and starring in this gigantic Broadway show. And just those two worlds, they're so different from each other. And they were all both new to me at the same time, right?
Whole yes.
new world. Whole new worlds, plural. Okay. And I had to really try to juggle that and not get overwhelmed. And there were times where I'm like, whew, am I going to be able to do this? But like I said, I was lucky to have support from my wife's family and from the Disney side, from the theater side as well. So we made it through.
Yes. Well, that's great. That's great. And what's something you want to pass on to your children, or you hope gets passed on to them about you or your integrity or something?
Yeah, I want them to recognize hard work. That's probably the big one there. I want them to know that if you want to get something, you're going to have to work hard and put in the time, and things don't happen right away. Like when I graduated from college, I didn't go straight to Broadway. It's that sort of thing where it's like you need to trust yourself and work hard, and eventually you can do it. And if they want to go into musical theater, God help them. I will do what I can to help them there. They are very musical. They love singing. I know Alex has said he may want to start learning electric guitar. They're really into classic rock.
Wow.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows? We might have the next Osmonds or the modern version of that.
Oh, like the Jonas Brothers.
Or... Yeah, that's the
one.
Yeah.
Jonas. Yes. Yeah, I'm still like in the 70s. time frame, but yes, I do know.
I love Donnie. I've met Donnie backstage. He's awesome.
Oh, wow.
It's funny. A lot of the reviews when I was on the tour, they were like, you know, this Adam Jacobs, he's got the Donny Osmond smile. Or I was actually compared to Donny Osmond. I think I counted it. I counted it in the reviews. I think it's like 4 times they mentioned him and me together, just because people watching it, they thought I reminded them of him. So I just have to say a shout out to him. Thank you for paving the way for me.
That's incredible. What an honor to be compared to such an icon.
Exactly. I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, another aspect of the docu-concert that I loved is when you talk about your mixed heritage and how there were times that you would go for a role and they would say, you're either to this or you're not enough of this heritage. Yeah. When you hear that, how does that make you feel? And how do you continue to move forward to audition when you hear things like that?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying,
yeah, I mean, it's discouraging. It takes the wind out of your sails when you hear something like that. I mean, it's one thing to be like, you're just not right for the role. Mm-hmm. But then to kind of get that extra thing of you're not what we had in mind in terms of what this role should be. They're saying it within the race paradigm or it rubs me the wrong way. And as it would for anybody, I think. Mm-hmm. Growing up, being multi-ethnic, it was hard to know where you fit in the business. And I found more often than not, you kind of have to change people's minds in these auditions because they have a certain idea of what they want it to be. And then you're kind of working at a disadvantage because you're having to change their minds and to impress them to the point where we can totally do it this way and it will be better. Right. So you really have to be on top of your game to be able to try and change people's minds as opposed to just having them be open-minded to begin with. Yeah. So it's always been kind of a struggle. And even to this day, at least there's roles being written now. Like even just this past couple of weeks, I've seen auditions for specifically Filipino Americans. And I'm like, thank you. Great. Right. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that there's progress, there's happening, but I could go on this particular subject and I don't want to take up all your time, but yeah, I'm really happy that small steps are being made, but it was tough for a while. And I've been fortunate to turn my disadvantage into an advantage and play a wide variety of roles. But at the same time, it's like, we need to be better.
Yes. Yes. Is there a role that you got that you were just so proud of that you got cast in?
Besides Aladdin? Yeah, I mean, that one kind of takes the cake in terms of being cast in a role that you've always loved and wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But Simba as well was definitely a huge coup for me, because that was a role I wanted for so many years. And I mm-hmm. tried for so many years to get that. And it took time. I had to grow into the role and I had to slowly change their minds. We're talking mm-hmm. about changing people's minds again. But have them see what I could do and have them trust my work and give me the shot and give me the chance. And I'm grateful they did.
Yeah. And you got to be in two mega hit Disney shows. I mean, it's incredible.
No, I think I'm the only guy who's been able to do Simba and Aladdin. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
Let's just move into talking about your upcoming film, Last Call in the Doghouse. What can you tell us about this film? And because I know from the docu-concert, you talk about how excited you are to move into film and TV. Yeah. So what can you tell us about the process of making the movie as compared to mounting a Broadway show?
Sure. So I'm very happy to be part of Last Call in the Doghouse. The film, I'll just quickly tell you, I like to describe it as, have you seen Touched by an Angel?
Yeah.
So there's that element and a little bit of Twilight Zone sci-fi element. We're helping people. I'm part of a family that's omniscient, I'll say, without giving too much away.
Okay.
And I'm playing a character. I'm a bartender. I'm a brother. I'm an adopted part of the family. And we help people. People come into the bar at last call and we do what we can to help them. That's the basic idea. And when I read the pilot, I was like, oh, this is a great idea. And so I was really excited to try something different in terms of creating, because I've done a lot of Broadway shows but I've never really tackled something of this nature. And so trying to figure out how to do it was really exciting. And I had a great director, Bruce, and he really helped us, gave us the room to figure it out and to breathe and to create this beautiful film. And we thought it came out so well that he's decided to write two more to make it like a trilogy. After this one comes out, the next one will be In Dog We Trust. If you'll understand, dog backwards is God. So
yes,
a hint as to what's going on in the movie. So yeah, so he's going to do that. And then another one. So it's this cool project and I get to play piano and sing and part of it. I get to show a lot of different levels and it was cool. It was a really fun process and I'm glad I did it.
That's awesome. What was the biggest challenge for you in filming the movie as opposed to preparing for a Broadway show? Like what was the biggest thing you had to adapt to on a film set?
I think just the pace. Mm-hmm. I had been on a couple film sets, but I've never done like a feature like this where you have to kind of prepare for your role. And sometimes you're shooting out of order mm-hmm. and we were on this crazy location in California, like up in the hills. We were kind of all over the place, but that made it fun. That made it really exciting. We're just like on this dude ranch shooting and it's all muddy and dirty. And so it was really exciting to try and to be performing and trying to create in these different environments, really. That was the coolest part.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We are unfortunately out of time for today's episode.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. Where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me at AdamJacobsNYC on Instagram or Twitter, or you know, my website, AdamJacobs.net.
Great. And everybody listening, Adam's docu concert. I have to get the terminology right. Docu concert Behind the Curtain is coming out around the end of April. And also Last Call in the Doghouse also has around that end of April timeframe.
That's what we're looking.
So yeah, just keep an eye out on Adam's social media and his website for the final announcements, and we can't wait to see it.
The second part of our conversation, where we talk about lessons learned, will be released soon, so stay tuned.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. CallMeAdam.com.
Find more episodes of Burying It All with Call Me Adam everywhere you stream podcasts. For my print and video interviews, visit my website, callmeadam.com. Follow me on social media at callmeadamnyc on Facebook and Instagram. Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview. Sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autographed copy.